Hey, before, because we're going to talk a lot about what everybody got out of the boot camp, so you'll be able to get a little bit of a catch-up of what you missed. But before we do that, since you weren't there, give the listeners a little thought on why your inner circle and what the value has been to you
okay.
so far.
I'm going to roll.
Well, let me say this. Just from, well, first of all, it's the mastermind, the whole thing behind that. You are who you hang out with.
Well, I got some computer work.
Hello.
And I believe that what I've gotten out of this from the first meeting alone is just a little bit more in reinforcement on what my value is. I've increased my prices.
Yeah.
I've gotten a little more aggressive on getting the people in the door, making more money. I've increased the income in my school just on what my billing company is collecting. I've increased by $3,000 in just 2 months. So if that continues, you know, by the end of the year, you're talking, you know, that's $30,000 to $40,000 increase.
Oh, yeah,
and, marketing-wise, it's really made me, although my background, I owned a commercial art business for 13 years back in the 80s, and I have a lot of advertising background, there was a lot that I was missing.
Yeah.
And I feel that I've picked up a lot from the first meeting with the other guys.
Unfortunately, yeah. It doesn't print like that.
Well, no, I mean, that was great. It's sounding like, I mean, already you're headed for a you know, 300 to 500% return on your relatively meager investment on Inner Circle. But if somebody out there, and we've now been getting just a ton of these surveys back, and I'm seeing a lot of schools that are, let's say, 200, 250, 300 active students or end up, who, you know, haven't looked at this yet and haven't talked about it yet and so forth. And there's also a lot of schools who, you know, are let's say, full-time, 100 students, 150 students, they're making a living, but they're not making a great living, that probably need that additional boost that that the peak performers would provide them, but may not be a good fit for Inner Circle. So what would you tell them? What should be their evaluation process to go about looking at it and seeing if they can fit in at one level or the other?
Well, one thing I would say is, from my experience in the past and other businesses that I've owned, I owned a construction company for 20 years, and I belonged to some mastermind, in a sense, they weren't called mastermind, but mastermind groups with the construction industry. And that in its own right there, I went from being a person doing construction work at a, you know, giving a great price for that customer, trying to get all the work, to I was the one of the most expensive, and I got so much work, I was providing other contractors with work just with my overflow, and I made money.
Right.
In the construction industry, you make mistakes. The guys that work for you, they don't really care what they do, and they screw something up that could cost you $20,000-$30,000. So you've got to make enough money to cover those, and hoping they don't happen very often. But in the martial arts industry, same thing. It's no different. It's a business. You need to be around people that are successful in order for you to become successful. I worked for research and development, two different companies in the high-tech industry, and the people I worked with there were phenomenal. That just kicked me way ahead in the industry I was in, and I see the same thing with the martial arts industry. No different.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the beginning, I did not see that. I've been teaching my one school I have now, I had for 14 years. I don't know how I did it part-time. Now that I've been changed, you know, changing my thinking patterns. And the Inner Circle group, there's so much information out there. And with what I'm seeing from the Inner Circle group, I know I don't want to be that person that did not do what we talked about right. and come back and be embarrassed because, well, I didn't do it. I should have, but could have, and, but I didn't. And the other thing is the knowledge and the support within the group, willing to work with each other.
Would it be fair to say that a lot of the value of either Peak Performer's Inner Circle isn't about now getting a bunch more knowledge, because, I mean, a lot of people kind of feel like they're overwhelmed already.
Implementing.
But it's more, yeah, I was going to say it's about seeing how other people are implementing so that you have the ability to go do it yourself, having a group of peers that are going to hold you accountable and help you prioritize, because I see a lot of the school owners that I work with initially in coaching, they have 122 things they want to do, which means they're not going to do any of them.
Right.
So it's about honing in that list to the top five or six things and giving you an action strategy. Would that be a fair assessment?
Exactly. That was me a few years back. I've been with NAPMA since 2000, I think it was. I've been to tons and tons and tons of seminars, different people's schools. I've visited over Tommy Lee. I hung around him for a little bit, went to a lot of his seminars. And there was so many ideas, but not many being implemented.
Right.
And that's what with the Inner Circle group, Peak Performers too, would be they're going to make you accountable for what it is that you say you're going to do, and it also learning how to prioritize and doing the right thing first and sticking with it until you accomplish it.
Exactly.
Not doing something that's not going to give you the full return, the highest return on your income.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like you're glad you did it and making great strides already.
Oh, absolutely. And this weekend, I'll tell you one reason I wasn't at the boot camp, and if it wasn't for that, I would have been there. The school district in this area, where I'm at, 1 mile down the road from, is number 24 of 501 in Pennsylvania, and the teachers went on strike. Well, I offered my school as the teachers' headquarters.
Oh,
what
wow.
that did was every single teacher from every single school in that district, all the heads of each school were in my school. I had a captured audience.
Can't beat that deal.
I'll tell you what, it was phenomenal. I mean, they're like, wow, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know you were so related with, you know, because number 1 through 12 students graduating from the high school, most of those were my students.
That's amazing.
So I could make that point with the teachers and show them what I'm doing and how it's making a difference in their school. So anyways, that's another subject, and boot camp is something I want to hear about, and I'll let you guys talk. Unless you want to hear something else.
Yeah, no, that was great. Thank you very much for your contribution. And I know for sure I've got Jonathan Metcalf and Toby on the line here. So, Toby, you want to background any remaining background noise, other than, of course, all of the background noise that I have at my end? Toby, let me start with you, and then Jonathan, we're going to get you and as many of your compatriots who were there as possible on the phone here. But Toby, give everybody your 30 to 90 second recap of what the Peak Performers meeting was about this weekend, but also about the boot camp and how it relates to the Upcoming Extreme Success Academy.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I can, I'll take those in reverse order. Number one, the boot camp obviously led into the Peak Performer meeting on Saturday night and Sunday. And the boot camp, I think gave everybody sort of like a little slice of what they can expect at Extreme Success Academy. And I think it is very different than expectations in some cases. So, for example, if I'm used to, going to the big trade show and the big convention and having, 200 vendor booths and 60 speakers, and I get to, roll around with Frank Shamrock for an hour and then go listen to, like, InfoCall script stuff for an hour. That's a little different than what we're talking about. What we're talking about is, and what the boot camp primarily focused on, is very high-level business information. when it applies to your martial arts school. So we're not talking about how to do Info Call 1, Info Call 2, although, or, I'm sorry, Info Call 1, Intro 1, Intro 2, although we will be doing a lot of that at Extreme Success Academy in the staff training day. But mostly what we're trying to do is really pull by the bootstraps the industry to the next level of professionalism. And, I mean, if I'm a new school who is struggling with Info Call and Intro 1 and Intro 2, at Extreme Success Academy, we're going to have that extended staff training day, and we're also going to have the A to Z Blueprint Day the day before the conference, which is sort of designed for that facilitation. So if I'm the newer school owner, or I want to get, you know, caught up to speed on the last 14 years of professional martial arts operations development, then the A to Z Blueprint Day is perfect for that. But at the boot camp, what they saw is sort of a slice of what they're going to see at Extreme Success Academy, which is, you know, yes, we're going to have physical activities for you to participate in. Yes, we're going to have some of the, you know, martial arts superstars in the industry there to mingle with and, you know, listen to and things like that. But primarily what it's all about is, number one, how to get you more students. Number two, how to create more revenue, more profit opportunities with those students. And number three, how to create long-term wealth beyond just operating your martial arts school. And I think at the boot camp, Terry Bryan sort of shined a very small little flashlight on one of those opportunities. So Extreme Success Academy, you know, mirrors the boot camp in many ways, as the focus is not necessarily, let's call it low-end business ideas. You know, let's call it rudimentary martial arts school operations, but trends towards sort of the higher end of how do I now go from, you know, 150 students to 350 students, and how do I go from, you know, the $10,000 a month on 110 students to, you know, 30 or 40 or 50,000 a month on 200 students. That's sort of a strategy.
Yeah, Toby, not to interrupt you, but let's get into some real meat here, because we don't want to talk topically so much as some real ideas. And Jonathan, I think you're still here with us.
Very good.
And we'll, Jonathan, we'll ask any of the other Inner Circle Peak Performers members who, or coaching members who are on the call, who are at the boot camp, we'll ask them to chip in here in a few minutes. But in the meantime, if they can make sure their phones are muted, so we get rid of as much background noise as possible. But Jonathan, give everybody your background a little bit. You're up in Connecticut.
That's right.
And so give them a little bit of your background, what your school looks like, maybe kind of what you expected before you came out here and what it was really like and your experience. And I know you came up with a very comprehensive list, which was of action implementation, which was why I asked you to contribute today.
Well, my name is Jonathan Metcalf. I run a martial arts school up here in northern Connecticut in a town called Enfield. It's normal town with 46,000 people who just got first Starbucks. And when I joined the Inner Circle group, it was because my school sort of risen to the point where a lot of the people I was talking to, you know, my friends in the martial arts world, my school was outperforming there. So it was kind of boring because I had no one to challenge me or push me to the next level. So I was really excited when I heard about the Inner Circle group, and I joined the program looking to meet up with people who were more successful than I am, just the same way that I would try and spar people who are better than I am, because I want to become better at sparring.
Right.
And the results have been phenomenal. I didn't know exactly what to expect joining the group. I was worried that, you know, people would be sort of cards close to their chest and not share openly about the things that really make a difference in their school, or that there'd be some really big egos involved, and that, you know, I wouldn't enjoy my interaction with the other martial artists in the group. And it's been quite the opposite. I mean, the guys, I'm very fond of them all. And then when I went to the boot camp this weekend, it was exactly like that. People were incredibly open, you know, telling things that, you know, I would copyright and be afraid to say, you know. But because there were just some gold mines, you know, of information, and, oh, well, we do step A, step B, step C, step D, you know, and just very detailed, very process-oriented information that, you know, I can take home to my school and make it my own and put it to work for myself right away. And that was really exciting and impressive for me to have access to people who I really enjoyed being with, who were also giving me detailed, proven, you know, ideas right off the bat that I can take home and implement. So I went back to my school and I spent the first 3 hours this morning trying to decide in what order to implement all the stuff I got, and you know, made a whole bunch of action items and put them on my calendar.
Okay.
So I have a lot to do, and I'm excited about it because it's gonna. I can tell it's all stuff that's gonna drive my school forward. I told you, Master Oliver, I set a goal each night to come up with at least $50,000 of ideas the next day, and I'm clear that I did that.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. You know, you said something that that's my pet peeve about going to seminars, and I'll get you to clarify. My pet peeve about going to seminars is always having to sort out whether the people who are talking are saying what they're saying with an ulterior motive looking to, like, get me to buy something, or with an ulterior motive to, like, make themselves look good. And second, about whether the people who are actually talking have actually been there, done that themselves, and know what they're talking about, or just made up something sounding good. How would you relate the information you were getting there from like, those three criteria?
Well, first off, there was no sense of real ego in the room. Now, people were proud of what they did, but it wasn't like a, you should listen to me because I am so much better than you. It was, hey, I've done this. Here's the results I've gotten. Here's how I did it. And the information was very specific and very detailed that gave, to me, the sense of credibility, like, okay, yeah, this is a system. And they were very honest about their mistakes. You know, this is how I got here. You know, I tried this and it didn't work so well. And then I did this and it got, you know, all of a sudden it's working 20% better. And then I talked to Master Oliver and I got this and now it's working 80% better. Or I talked to, you know, Dan Kennedy or I got whatever advice I got. So they were very clear about, you know, the source of what they did, the mistakes they made along the way, who they got their advice from. So it was never a me show. And it was always a, hey, this is what these are the mistakes I made. You can avoid them. By just listening to the fact that I already made them for you.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly useful because, you know, every time I went to one of these two-hour talks, it probably saved me 2 years.
Oh, yeah. And especially hearing the I tried this and it didn't work is useful because sometimes you go try to tweak it yourself and the tweak you're going to make is probably what they tried already.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I?
Actual implementation items, and I know that, you know, from 3 or 4 days out in Colorado, you probably got enough to talk about for 2 weeks. But maybe we could do some thumbnails of what some of the action implementation items that would be useful for everybody else listening in would be that you picked up for yourself.
Okay, well, I'll just be frank. You know, when I got back, I had a list of 30 somewhat actionable items. And what I did today was sort of sort them out into today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next week, and the next month. So I'll start with some of the things that I'm working on for today.
And it might be useful. Give everybody a sense of how many active students you have, what kind of monthly or annual growth you're doing, so they kind of have a sense of where you're coming from for your next step.
It's still at home.
Okay, very fair. So I have 300 active students, and last year I did just about 450,000.
Okay.
And my school's kind of plateaued in terms of student enrollment, about 300 for a few years now.
Okay.
And it's just starting to grow again.
Right.
And just like Chuck was saying, you know, the Inner Circle program is fairly new, so to see the results this soon was actually kind of surprising.
Yeah.
This month I had a record month. My previous gross record month was $50,000 in a month, and last March was $58,000.
Okay.
So that's significant growth.
You bet. That's a huge jump in that quick time.
Oh, yeah.
Because Inner Circle only really has been going for, what, 90 days or so?
Exactly.
Yeah, fantastic. But so anyway, you've got 30 actionable items. You've honed it in. So what are you starting on in April?
What I'm starting on in April is the big development for me is I've been listening very carefully to what the other people in the Inner Circle group are saying and what the Mile High guys are saying about how to structure an upgrade program.
Okay.
So I'm a researcher maniac, and so the program I'm looking to develop is a very intense leadership program using a whole bunch of written and classroom resources. And one of the a few things I've scheduled is how to market that program and how to launch it early, you know, how to sell it before it launches. So I plan on launching it in May. And my normal tendency before would be, oh, okay, well, I'm going to launch it in May. I'll talk about it maybe a week before, and then I'll let people try it for free for a month and see if they like it. And what I've learned is that that's not the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
And there's incredible, you know, one of the most detailed parts of the marketing boot camp was the 50-step list of how the speakers pre-frame sales to make them, you know, incredibly effective. So these are guys who are upgrading 80% of their students in the first 6 weeks of their enrollment into programs that cost $300+ a month. And I was thinking, God, how do they do that? That's ridiculous, you know. And they told me how to do it. And so
you're talking about Matt Young and Master Gonzalez.
Yes.
Who went through that? And Matt's what, 22?
I was so impressed by that. And the school's only a year and a half old or something like that.
I think it's more like 30 months now.
30 months. Okay, so it's still a new school, and I got to go to a school, which is. The energy on the floor was really good. The quality of the martial arts students was very good. Every aspect of a school, you know, every inch of the floor and the space and you know, the conversation all supported everything he did. And it was really amazing to see, you know, just how that's accomplished.
Yeah, that's the Mile High Karate School in South Jefferson.
Right.
Yeah.
And so what I'm going to be working on this month is creating a whole system that will have everyone in my school want to upgrade into this program that I'm launching in May. And then in May, to only sign up for some very small fraction of them and let the rest of them work towards, you know, letting them come to me next so that over the course of the next 3 months, I really fill that program up with exactly the right people. And that was another interesting message that I learned from the program was before I would have gone, okay, well, you know what, how do I get everybody in and try and sell them into this program that I want them to be in? And one of the messages I sort of got to understand was that's kind of the wrong approach. The better approach is how do I make everybody want to be in this program and then take the ones that I want?
Exactly. And, of course, you owe it to everyone else to do that because, as you mentioned, the value of Inner Circle is being around other winners. The value of being in leadership is being around other winners. And so it becomes a very positive peer group for the students.
Absolutely. And that's been another interesting thing for me is I would have never asked for endorsements a year ago, and now I'm asking for them. And what I'm learning is just how to use, you know, having a student come to me and say, oh, you know, I love your classes and it's made such a difference for me, and turning around and saying, hey, you know, would you write down exactly how, please? And then using that same information to put on my bulletin board or to have them turn around to the lobby at a critical time and say that to the lobby. Right? It's a whole different world and makes a huge difference in terms of just the morale. I mean, I have lots of people who think I'm doing a great job, but if that's one thing. But if I have a whole bunch of people in the lobby or in the classroom talking about how our school's made a difference for them, that creates an absurdly different level of value.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's so credible because it's not you saying it.
And
oh,
that's something
way, I don't know,
in programs.
I don't know if I brought this up this weekend, but now you can get one of those little video cameras that fits in your pocket. And so, you know, you could have a little video camera for $150 that everybody has in their pocket. So when you get that, you can say, hey, say that again, you know, and pull the camera out.
All right, that's something to buy on Friday.
There you go. But anyway, so I think we're on action item number one there. What kind of price point are you looking at for your leadership program?
I'm looking above the 300 mark. I'm gonna start it for the first 10 people at $299, and then I'm gonna raise it about $25 for every 20 people who get involved.
Okay, good.
So I'm hoping my eventual goal is that by 2010, I'm charging in the $400 somewhat dollar range for it.
By 2010, how about by 2009?
By 2009, somewhere in the mid to high 300s.
Okay. So what's your year ago? What was your new enrollment tuition?
A year ago, my new enrollment tuition was $139.
Okay. And, you know, there are still a lot of people listening on this call who are thinking $89 a month is the best they can do.
Yeah. Here's something else that's been really interesting to me. So the sort of traditional understanding, which is what I had and kind of intuitive, is that the higher your price, you know, the lower volume you do, and the lower your price, the more volume you do, and that's sort of the traditional two ways of, you know, doing business.
Yeah.
And so I got some people's advice to raise my prices. A couple of weird things happened. One, my retention went way up. So two, the number of complaints about money went down.
Yeah.
And three, my enrollment has gone up.
Yeah.
And my closing ratios, you know, number of people who actually sign up after they see the prices has not gone down at all. In fact, it's had a slight bump up.
Yeah.
Which is all counterintuitive to me. You know, it made sense to me that if I was selling something for $5, it would be easier to sell than if I was selling something for $10. But the exact opposite has proven out.
Yeah, the way to get your arms around that, of course, I'm an economist by training, and, you know, the most economists think of supply and price and demand as being opposites of one another. But if price determines perception of value, and if I don't know any better, and you tell me a higher price, I perceive that it's of higher quality, of higher value. Now, I mean, you can't go out and do that with maybe two identical items that there's no way to differentiate the value. But I mean, even, you know, like a lot of people think like laptop computers are becoming commodities now, but I go buy a Mac that's probably double what I could get a comparable PC for, just because I perceive that there's a higher functionality and a higher value there. And then students coming in are the same way. You know, frankly, the higher the price point, you mentioned, you know, a lot of the advantages. One, people whine less about price, but two, they whine less about, you know, if you change the class schedule and they're paying a lot higher price, they don't complain as much. And that's counterintuitive, too. You would think is the higher price you're paying, the more people are going to you know, jab you about every little thing. But in reality, it's the opposite. So good. So action item number two.
Action item number two is my school has a really solid instructional staff, but I don't have someone who's designated program director. I have a few people sort of half filling that job. And
yep.
So action item number two is to create and train a really strong program director.
Good.
Action item number three is I developed about 6 or 8 staff training concepts based on what I learned at the program, primarily from Master Gonzalez, about how to create value for in the student's mind from the floor. Something, you know, that maybe before I turned my nose up at, oh, they're doing sales. And here's one thing that totally shifted for me out of the participation in Inner Circle, and frankly, listening to some of the Dan Kennedy stuff as well that was recommended by you guys. I used to have this thought and feeling that sales and marketing were kind of a dirty word.
Right.
You know, kind of the way that lawyers are sometimes a dirty word for some people.
Yeah.
And it's been totally reframed for me as communication. And I'm an educator, so communication for me is sort of the top end. And when you're a good communicator, you can really teach and help people.
Exactly.
And so marketing and sales, learning that marketing and sales is about communicating what's important and what's valuable about what we do,
yep,
has really shifted things and opened up doors and allowed me to allow some of that information about what's important and what's valuable about what we do into every aspect of my business. And it's not about manipulating people, but really about informing them. And I really honestly feel that way now. And that's removed huge constraints out of what I would have done before.
Excellent.
So
and that's right. I mean, I always explain to people that take it down to the simplest level. If your child is a junior in high school, you want all the teachers and counselors to be excellent persuaders, excellent communicators, excellent at setting a vision and a goal for your child to succeed in high school, to graduate and go on to higher academics. And we're really no different. Everyone who interacts with a student should be there to inspire and motivate and excite the student about achieving at higher and higher levels, which of course means, you know, becoming a brown belt, becoming a black belt, and a second degree black belt, maybe even, you know, being a volunteer or a paid staff someday. So it really is no different. And as a parent, I wouldn't look down on my daughter's first grade teacher or a high school teacher trying to excite my child about being an MD or a lawyer or